Okay, good evening. This week we are privileged to a very, as we would say, a jam-packed parasha. It's Parshas Mishpatim, it's also Shkolim, right, the first in the series of the four parashias. It is also Shabbos Mevarchim Adar. It is also the last Shabbos of the 6 weeks known as Shovavim, Shemais Ve'erabai B'Shalach Yisrael Mishpatim, based on the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Shuvu Bonim Shoivavim, that these 6 weeks were designated in the time of the Arizal as 6 weeks of tshuva, 6 weeks of tikkunim, which come to an end this week, Parshas Mishpatim. In fact, the Sfarim, Reb Sodek and his Sfarim, the Sheiris Yisrael, from the Reb Yisrael Valednica writes, the Parshas Mishpatim is the Parsha that has in it a tikkun for everyone. Everyone reaches their source, their root in Parshas Mishpatim. He says that all the Nezikin and all the punishments that we have in this parasha, Mois Yumas and Ayin Tachas Ayin, these are all what seems to be punishments, which they are, but as we know, punishments in reality are preparation for Tikkun. It's not an end. The punishments, whether they were the Dalad Misa, Skil Sreifa Herak Vechenek, Malkus, was misaken the person and brings them to Olam Haba. So these are all Tikkunim. But what this parasha is also famous for, which perhaps a lot don't know, is that this is the Shabbos, we just started, of Nase V'Nishma. This is the Shabbos where the Pasuk tells us that Klal Yisrael said Nase V'Nishma. That's a major event. Many who are not knowledgeable in Chumash, or those who are not Mavis Sedra every week perhaps, believe that Nasa V'Nishma was said in last week's Parsha. If you ask the average person today, where does it say Nasa V'Nishma? They say Parshas Yisrael, of course. Wrong, it's not in Parshas Yisrael, it's in Parshas Mishpatim. Parshas Yisrael, we get to read at another time during the year, we get to read it on Shavuos, so we're familiar with Parshas Yisrael, we read it on Shavuos. Mishpatim is only read, at least this part of Mishpatim, is only read once a year, and that is this coming Shabbos. So this is the Shabbos of Nase V'Nishma. Besides being Mishpatim and Shkolim and Shabbos Mevarachim and the end of the 6 weeks of Shoivavim, it is also the Shabbos of Nase V'Nishma. The Gemara says many, many rewards that Klal Yisrael was zoichet to as a result of saying Nase V'Nishma. We were crowned because we said Nase V'Nishma. Every Jew received a keser, one for Nase, one for Nishma. We were called Hashem's firstborn. The Gemara brings out in Shabbos, Daf Pei Tes. The Gemara says that because Klal Yisrael said Nase V'Nishma, they were zeichet to be called Bnei Bechori Yisrael, even though Bnei Bechori Yisrael was first discussed in Parshas Shemais, the first of the 6 weeks of Shoivavim. But it's when Klal Yisrael said Nase V'Nishma that it became reality. Nase V'Nishma brought us to the greatest heights. And that's this Shabbos. So this Shabbos we relive the Nase V'Nishma. What's interesting though is that the name of the parasha is Mishpatim. Mishpatim refers to mitzvahs that make sense. We're doing it with logic. We understand the mitzvahs. They're not chukim. This parasha is not called chukim. Yet Nase V'Nishma is a phrase where Klal Yisrael are saying that we're going to do whether we understand it or not. The idea is that we don't understand it, because if we understand it, there's no need to say Nase V'Nishma. So it's interesting that the parsha that talks about Nase V'Nishma is a parsha that the name of it is Mishpatim, of all names. Mishpatim makes sense. Nase V'Nishma means like the Goyim were not able to accept the Torah. We said Nase V'Nishma before even understanding what it says. We'll do and then we'll understand. The parsha begins with the lowest Jew that exists. The lowest Jew, we mentioned last week, the Acharis Jews. The lowest Jew is an Eved Ivri. Literally, from all the Yichusim, from all the Meyuchasim, starting with Kohanim, a Kohen, of course, is the greatest of all Klal Yisrael. The Kohen is the Reishis, that's why the Kohen receives the Reishis, he receives Truma, he receives Bikura, he receives Truma's Maisa. The lowest Jew is an Eved. An Eved Ein La Yichus, especially an Eved Kanani, but even an Eved Ivri, who still has a Yichus, he's still a Jew, the only one that's permitted to marry a Shivcha Kananis. In other words, when he's an Eved, he's not even really, he lost part of his Yiddishkeit, sort of. He lost part of his Yadus. He's permitted to marry a Shivcha Kananis, and only while he's an Eved. Of course, when he goes free, he can't take her with him. So here we start the parasha talking about the lowest Jew. We end the parasha talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest Jew. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Reishis, Vaya Reishis Loi, and the parasha ends, besides talking about Nasa V'Nishma, that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, he went up through a cloud, Vayavai Moshe B'soiche Onan, Vayal El Hahor, and Rashi says Hashem made a pathway for him. Osalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe Shvil B'soiche. Based on the concept that the beginning and the end are connected, it's a concept that's mentioned in Sefer Yetzirah, no, it's Soifon B'Tchilosan, B'Tchilosan B'Soifon. That's why by Mesechtes, the custom is to be Messiah and Mesecht and connect the end of the Mesecht with the beginning of the Mesecht, the end of Shas with the beginning of Shas. Then it's the same, it's that way in Torah Shebiksav, of course, as well. We finish the Varim, we go right to Bereshis, we Makasha, the end of, how many Svarim were written just to be Makasha, the end of the Varim with the beginning of Bereshis. And the same thing is with every parasha. Every parasha, the beginning and the end are connected. And sometimes it's obvious, the connections. Sometimes, like in our parasha, it's a little strange. The parasha begins with the lowest Jew, an Eved Ivri, and it gets worse, as we'll see momentarily. And the parasha ends with Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of all Jews, who's on his way now to the top of Har Sinai to receive the Luchais. About the Luchais, it says, Choros al ha-Luchais, al tikri Choros al ha-Cheiros, which the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Ein lecha ben chayur ela misha oisek b'talmud Torah. Torah causes real freedom. Torah frees you from the Yetzer Hara. Moshe Rabbeinu was now going up to Har Sinai to receive the Luchais, Choros al ha-Luchais, and at the beginning of the parasha, we have a Jew who says, Loi Yetzer Chavshi, I don't want to be free. He's not interested in Cheiros. He's interested in what he thinks freedom is, doing whatever you want, enjoying life. A Jew that even after working for 6 years, and he was there, he's there because he stole, in Ein Loi V'Nimkar B'Gnei Vasa. We're not talking about Meichar Atzmai. Meichar Atzmai is in Parshas Bahar. So we're talking about an Eved Ivri that was already an Avarian, he was already a Balaveira, he was a Ganav. And he couldn't pay back, so he sold into slavery. He works for 6 years. Not only is he a Ganav and an Eved, but he wants to stay. There's a possibility, there's a scenario here of an Eved who says, V'im omar yoimar ha'eved, o hafti es adoini es ishti v'es bonai. Because we allow him to marry a Shivcha Kananis. He's only allowed to marry a Shivcha Kananis. It's interesting. He's only allowed if he's already married. One would think on the surface, what do you mean? If he's already married, we should allow him to marry someone else? What's his first wife going to say? In Megapa Yavai, Megapa Yetzai. If he comes in alone, he goes out alone, he's not permitted to marry a Shivcha Kananis. But if he's married, the master may give him a Shivcha Kananis for the duration of his being enslaved. The reason for this, the Rishonim tell us, is simply, we don't want him to want to stay. If he's not married, if he's single, and his first wife is going to be the Shivcha Kananis, why should he want to leave? He'll want to stay with her. This is his first wife, he's going to have children with her, he's not going to want to go out. We don't want him to stay past the 6 years, so therefore the possibility of a Shivcha Kananis is only if he's married. Others say, we don't want that his reishis, his first child, his first experience with Nisuin, with marriage, should be with a Shivcha Kananis. So therefore, if he's married already, and only in that case do we allow him to marry a Shivcha Kananis. And yet, even though he is married already, it's still possible that he might say, so what do? We bring him to the Vezin that sold him, v'higisha adoinav elo elohim. And if that doesn't help, v'higisha el hadeles oy el hamezuz. We bring him to the doorway, the doorpost. And there we pierce him, as we know, the Pasuk says, v'rotza adoina ves oznoi v'amartzeya v'avodoi l'oylam. On the surface, that seems to say that he's a slave forever. V'avodoi l'oylam. If you don't learn Rashi, if you don't look at Chazal, it looks like he's doomed. He's a slave. He's finished. This is a Jew that there's no tikkun for him. If he doesn't want to go free, he'd rather live with his Shivcha Kananis. He's a goner. Comes along Rashi and says, no, he's not. Because there's a Yovel. The Jubilee year, the 50th year, the Eved Ivri goes free. There's a tikkun for him too. Even this Jew that says, Ohafti es adoini, es ishtivi, es bonoi, lo yetzei chavshi, he does not want to go out free, but there's a possibility for him to go out free too. And that's in the Yovel year, and in the Yovel year he goes out free. So Chazal come and revealed to us that although the Torah, literally, the Torah says, v'avodai l'oylam, it's not forever. It's till Yovel, oylam oishol Yovel, till the 50th year. There's a tikkun for him too. Shabbos doesn't rectify him. We see he works for 6 years, he's supposed to go out in the 7th year, He doesn't want to go out on the seventh year, and we allow him to stay, and he stays. But the Yovel year, the seventh year, represents Shabbos. Shabbos has no effect on him. Yovel does. Now, in this parasha, we have a list of Mishpatim, and then we have a topic that talks about Eretz Yisrael, and then we have a topic at the end that talks about the Hachanas, the Matan Torah. The Torah goes back to talk about what took place before Shavuos, including Nasa v'Nishma. So if we look at all the Mishpatim begin with the Mitzvah of Eved Ivri, and the last one is Reishis Bikurei Admoscha Tavi Beis Hashem Elokecha Lo Yisevashol Gedi Bachalevi Moi. That you have to bring the first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash. This is the Mitzvah of Bikurim. First time it ever says Bikurim is here. And you're not allowed to cook a goat in its mother's milk, the Isra of Basar B'chalav. So we start off with an Eved Ivri, and the Eved Ivri is the Acharis, the last, the lowest of all Jews. And we end off with Reishis Bikurei Admoscha, the first fruits that grow in your field you should bring to the Beis HaMikdash. What's the connection between the Eved Ivri and Bikurim? Well, and the Isra of not cooking milk and meat together? Besides the end of the parasha, which talks about Moshe Rabbeinu going up to Har Sinai, and Klal Yisrael reverberating the words Nasa V'Nishma. And Nasa V'Nishma, if you think about it, is totally the opposite. It's the antithesis to what the Eved Ivri is, a person who says, in this case, Ohavti Es Adoni, I love my master. And he's willing to accept another master on himself. It's sort of a violation of the Aseres HaDibros. It's a violation of Vayyeh L'Chayelahim Acherim Alponai. In fact, Rashi brings down the Yodua Dika Mechilta. The reason why we pierce his ear is because the ear that heard on Har Sinai that you shouldn't steal, and he went and he stole, the ear that heard on Har Sinai, ki libena Yisrael avadam avadayhem, and he wants to be a slave to someone else, such an ear should be pierced. The truth is, Klal Yisrael didn't hear that yet. Ki libena Yisrael avadam avadayhem is not said until Pashas Bahar. Loisignoiv, which means stealing, is loisignoiv in Pashas Kedoshim. Loisignoiv in the Aseres HaDibros is referring to kidnapping. So Mepharshim discussed that. There's a Yerushalmi in Kedushin that says, Oizen zois sheshoma al har Sinai lo yihi yelechoy elohim acherim al ponai. And he goes ahead and is willing to submit himself to another power, and to another master. He has two masters. He has Hashem and he has his master now. Let's pierce his ear. So this is sort of equated to avoid the Zohar. This is a violation of anoichi and lo yihi yelecho, the Eved Ivri. This is not a Nasa V'Nishma Jew. This is certainly a Jew who we would not put in the klal of those who said Nasa V'Nishma. This Jew, the Eved Ivri that we talk about at the beginning of this parasha, has fallen into what we mentioned last week, the Shar HaNun of Tumah. Which the Shar HaNun of Tumah is which our generation has definitely fallen into, the Shar HaNun of Tumah, the entire generation, and even part of the Jewish world, is in the Shar HaNun of Tumah, whether we like it or not. And the Shar HaNun of Tumah, as the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, today we can get out of it because we have a Torah. They didn't have it then. That's why in Mitzrayim, once they reached the 49th, we had to be pulled out immediately, because had we sunk any further, we could never have gotten out. We can get out because we have a Torah. What is the Shar HaNun of Tumah? The Shar HaNun, here the Torah reveals to us, especially now, after the Matan Torah, now that we have a Torah, even one who sunk into the Shar HaNun of Tumah can also get out. There's a tikkun for him too. There's a way out for him also. What is the Shar HaNun of Tumah? The Shar HaNun of Tumah is two things. It's kfira and znus. Kfira and the pursuit of worldly pleasures, which really they both go together. One who is only interested in the pursuit of worldly pleasures is someone who denies the existence of a God. I mean, the real reason why a person is an atheist, common sense dictates that the world was created. The world, there's so much wisdom in this world. One who studies the human body, one who studies science and the universe, has to come to the conclusion that there's a creator. I mean, this couldn't have happened by itself. A simple pair of glasses you wouldn't believe was created by itself, certainly not the entire universe. So how is it possible that there is so much atheism in the world? How is it possible that these so-called professors propagate the Darwinism and that there's no creator? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's nonsense. It's based on one thing. It's not that they don't believe. They don't want to believe. They'll do anything to say the most ridiculous, outlandish, nonsensical theories just to say that maybe there's no God, so that I can do whatever I want. That's basically what it is. Because if there's a God, then of course you got to conform to his laws. He made the world for a purpose, and of course if there's a purpose, I'm not living up to that purpose, and maybe it's not true that, you know, live, you only live once, eat, drink, and be merry for who knows what's... You know, the whole idea of enjoying life changes when you realize that there's a goal, that there's a purpose, that there's a God. So the two really go together. And the Shar HaNun of Tumah is what Amalek wanted to bring Klal Yisrael into. Ashakarcha Baderech. Ashakarcha means two things among the many interpretations of Ashakarcha. Ashakarcha means from the word Mikra Nikrus, happening, coincidence, Ashakarcha. He wanted to infuse into our minds that everything is just Keri, Mikra Nikrus, it's just a happening, it's a coincidence, it's a chance. Everything just happened by itself. That's Kfira. Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im oyin. The Jews had questions, and that's when Amalek came. Amalek tries to put questions into our minds. He tries to affect the mind. Asher Karcha also comes from the word Tumas Keri. There are two things that Amalek was after, that Amalek sought to infuse into Klal Yisrael. Kfira, Znus, which basically means atheism and the pursuit of worldly pleasures. Enjoy life. Don't be so serious. Forget about it. You know, it's not true. It's baloney. There's no hope. We're all doomed anyway. And especially today, those who are not religious, that's basically what they say. I mean, look, what's gonna happen? Who knows what's going to happen? It looks like we're on the brink of nuclear war. And everything today is just worldly pleasures. And that's what everything is about. Every advertisement, wherever you go, everything. It stands right out there. You can't help it. You walk outside, it sticks you in the face no matter where you go. Even unfortunately in our world, which hotel are we going to for Pesach? That's how it is. We don't want to be Makatra Chas V'Shalom. You know, all the restaurants and Chinese food. Now we have to have Japanese food. Maybe some will have Polish food. Whatever it is, all the kind of eating and drinking and enjoying it, a kosher way, of course. But these two are related. That's the Shar HaNun of Tumah. The Shar HaNun of Tumah are these two. Loisesuru Acharei Levavchem, Acharei Einechem. And that's what the Eved Ivri has sunken into. And that's what Klal Yisrael fell in the time of Purim into these same two traps, which is the Shar HaNun of Tumah, which Haman, with the Eitz Gavoya Chamishim Amma, as the Svarim tell us, the tree that was 50 Amas tall, is because Haman wanted to bring us into the Shar HaNun of Tumah. The Eved Ivri says, O Haftias Hadoini, I love my master. Meaning, he has more than one master. That sort of kfira in Achdus Hashem. He has violated Lo Yihyeh Elokei Elohim Acherim Al Ponai. Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokech Asher Hotzeiich Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis HaAvodah, you have to be my slave and no one else's. No, Ohavti Yesadayni, I love my new master. In fact, in our parsha, we learn that one of the mitzvahs, one of the mishpatim, is that three times a year we have to go to the Beis Hamikdash. Yeroya Kol Zechurcha El Pnei HaOdoin Hashem. The Gemara says that an eved is not oyler regel. An eved doesn't go because an eved has more than one master. Only one who has one odoin, that's why it says El Pnei HaOdoin Hashem, is obligated to go three times a year to Yerushalayim to the Beis Hamikdash, which the Beis Hamikdash, of course, is the place where we submit ourselves totally to Hashem, built la Hashem levado, and only to Hashem. That's why the Beis Hamikdash was built in the portion of land of Binyamin, because Binyamin never bowed to anyone else. Binyamin didn't bow to Esau, but all the other Shvatim did, even Yaakov did, Binyamin didn't. The Beis Hamikdash, therefore, is built only in his portion of land, and because the Beis Hamikdash symbolizes total hisbatlus to Hashem, achdus Hashem, completely. No submission, no subservience to anyone else but Hashem. And therefore, an Eved Ivri who has another master, he can't go there. He doesn't go to the Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't belong there. Mordechai, lo yichra v'lo yishtachaveh. Mordechai was a descendant of Binyamin who did not bow to Esav. Mordechai never bowed either. Mordechai didn't succumb to Haman in any way. He didn't succumb by bowing to him, he didn't bow to the statue in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and he didn't attend the party. Or at least, even if he was there, he was the mashgiach at the party to make sure it was kosher, but he didn't partake. And the two averus that Chazal tell us, that Klal Yisrael, because of those two averus, deserved, chas v'shalom, to be annihilated in the time of Haman, were number one, shehishtachavu l'tzelem b'mei Nebuchadnezzar. That's kfira, that's ashekorcha, that's the Loisesuru Acharei Levavchem, and shenehenu misudasai shel oisai rasha, pursuit of the worldly pleasures, enjoying the party, having a good time at the party. I'm sure it was a wonderful party, but every smorgasbord, every Viennese table, whatever you could imagine at any wedding that you ever saw, at any restaurant, was there and 100 times more. For 7 days straight, but the party itself was also, as we mentioned last week, the party itself was a party of kfir. It wasn't just worldly pleasures at that party, which, by the way, it wasn't just eating. There were mitoy zahav v'chesef, as Chazal tell us, v'znus. This was also Haman's advice, Haman's etza. At the party, Vashti was got to be brought. L'havi es Vashti ha'malka l'fnei ha'melech v'chesef malchus. But the party itself was celebrating no Beis HaMikdash, because this is the antithesis to it. The Beis HaMikdash is the place where a Jew totally submits himself to Hashem, and the Beis HaMikdash is the place where there's no such thing as worldly desires, because the Beis HaMikdash is the place where you bring karbanos and sacrifice them to Hashem, and that's the place where we take our first fruits and bring them to Hashem, which is the last of the Mishpatim here. Reishis bikuri ad mascha tavi Beis Hashem alekecha. Peiros, fruits, are sweet. Fruits are the kind of food you could live without them. You don't. A person is not going to die if he doesn't have an apple, or if he doesn't eat an orange. Fruits are Hashem's extra credit, sort of. It's something that we live. We don't live on fruits. We live on bread and water. Fruits are extra. Fruits are sweet. Fruits are taivis olam hazeh. What is a Jew told to do, commanded to do with his fruits? Bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. That a person is supposed to channel the taivus of Olam Hazeh, the desires of this world, in the right direction and elevate them. And that's what happens in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the place where we bow to Hashem, and only to Hashem, and the place where we bring our fruits, where our taivus are brought to Hashem and are elevated. The fruits are given to a kohen. So even though a person has a lot of fruits, but he gives away a lot of it, doesn't eat all of it, he curbs his desires. That's one of the ideas of Bikurim. And the party of Achashverosh, where everyone was told to eat and drink whatever they want, and how much they want, and the whole day and the whole night is the opposite of that. And of course, the whole purpose of the party was to celebrate what Achashverosh believed, mistakenly, because he miscalculated, is that there won't be a Beis HaMikdash. There never will be a Beis HaMikdash, so why don't you all just come and join in the party and have a good time? Because it's all baloney anyway. There's never going to be a Beis HaMikdash, he says to them. There's no hope for you. Even though the truth is Yesh Tikva La'acharisech, and as we mentioned last week, Purim is the mitzvah of Acharis. Purim is the mitzvah number 619 of all the 620 mitzvahs, equal to the word Acharis. Acharis is equal to 619. 620 is Chanukah. That's the last of the 620 mitzvahs. In the Aseres HaDibros, there are 620 letters. So each letter corresponds to another mitzvah. Purim was the 619th. The Acharis, because it's for the Acharis Jews, especially for the latter generations, for those who attended the party, for those who sinned and went to the party, and at that party were subjected to the taivus of Olam Hazeh, to all the worldly desires, and also at that party, and partaking in that party, eating the fruits and cakes and meats at that party, they were ingesting in themselves kfira. Because the whole party was to celebrate what Achashverosh said, is that you say, Yesh tikva la'acharisech. No, there's ain't tikva. There's no hope for you. Forget it. There's no future for you. You're never going back to Eretz Yisrael. You're not going to be rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. You're going to stay here and you're going to be part of the great Persian Empire that's really such an elite empire that eats and drinks all day. So you may as well enjoy and be part of it. So at that party, the Jews had sunk into the Shar Hanun of Tumah. The same way the Eved Ivri did. The Eved Ivri says, Ahafti es Adoini, which is Kfira, because he's accepting upon himself another master. And then he says, Es Ishtivi es Bonai. He doesn't mean his first wife, though. A person is supposed to love his wife. Nothing wrong with that. But he said, Ahafti es Ishti, Hashifcha, Rashi says. He forgot about his first wife. Now he wants the Shifcha. Now he's interested in just enjoying life and having a life of Hefkerus. He got used to it. He thought he'd only be here for 6 years. He got so used to it that he says, Loi Eitzei Chavshi. I'm not interested in freedom. Real freedom. I'm not interested in Choros Al Haluchos, in Cheirus, which Torah brings. And another thing he says is, Loi Eitzei Chavshi. I don't believe I'm ever going to go out free. Meaning, I don't believe in the Geula. I don't believe there ever will be a Geula. He says the same thing that the Jews were taught to believe at Achashverosh's party. Therefore, we take him to the Delos. The Delos is the door, but Delos also comes from the word Dalet. A Dalet is spelled Delos because in the mezuzah, what's written in the mezuzah? V'higisha el ha-Delos oyel ha-mezuzah. In the mezuzah is written the parasha of Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. There's a large Dalet in the word Echad, so you shouldn't chas v'shalom read it as if it says Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Acher, as if there's another God. It's Echad, there's only one. Just like in Parshas Kisisa, it says Lo Yishtach Avil El Acher with a large resh. So you shouldn't read it, God forbid, Leishishtach Avil El Echad, Le'el Acher. So the Torah goes out of its way to give us two large letters, a large dalet and a large resh, so that Chas V'Shalom, no one should violate Achdus Hashem, Anoichi and Lo Yihi Elecha. This Eved did. This Eved accepted upon himself an El Acher, because he accepted upon himself another master. And he reached and he fell down to the Shar Hanun of Tumah. So we take him to the Dalet, the Higisha El Hadeles El Hadalet. We take him to the Dalet. Remember, there's a Dalet in Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. There's only one God. The Higisha Oyel HaMezuzah. We take him to the Mezuzah. What does it say in the Mezuzah? V'yahavta Es Hashem Elokecha. You should be loving Hashem, not Adoni Es Ishti V'es Bonoi. What else does it say in the Mezuzah? In the Mezuzah it says, Ukshartam Lo'is Al Yodecha V'hoyu L'toytof Ois Beinecha. You put on tefillin. The tefillin that you wear is supposed to channel the Taivas Olam Haza and the Deos. You put the tefillin on the head so that we don't think the tefillin we put on the head and on the hand to channel the thoughts and the emotions in the right direction, which is exactly where he's going in the wrong direction, because he says Ahati Es Adoni Es Ishti V'es Bonoi. And even that doesn't seem to help. But finally, Yovel takes him out. Yovel frees him. Yovel, which is the year when they blow the shofar, Taviru shofar b'chol aretz, u'krosem deroyer bo'aretz, we proclaim freedom, emancipation throughout the land. Finally, Yovel affects even the worst, even the lowest of the low. Purim is Yovel, because Purim, it also has to do with the word deroyer. The Gemara says, Mordechai min ha-Torah minayin, she'nemar, v'yata kachlecha v'somim roish, mor deroyer. The royer is freedom. The royer is emancipation. Mor the royer, freedom from bitterness. Freedom from Amalek. Mor is begematria Amalek. In fact, the words deroyer ba'aretz, which it says by Yovel, the words deroyer ba'aretz are equal to the word purim b'miluah. Purim is pei aleph, vavav, yud vav dalet, memem, which is equal to 703. That's deroyer ba'aretz. Purim is deroyer. Purim is freedom. Mordechai and Esther, Mordechai with the koyach of Mor the royer, was able to bring Klal Yisrael out of the Shar Hanun of Tumah, because they had sunken into the Shar Hanun of Tumah, those who bowed to the statue on the climb of Achashverosh, those who went to the party, and many did, obviously. Menu misudos ha-shaloysei rosha. And a great Chil Hashem had occurred, and normally Chil Hashem, there's no kapara for Chil Hashem, unless a person dies. The Gemara says Chil Hashem, even Yom Kippur is not mechaper. But Purim is mechaper for Chil Hashem. That's what the Sfarim tell us. Purim is greater than Yom Kippur. Yom Kippurim is called Ki Purim. It's like Purim. Purim is greater. Yom Kippur is not mechaper for Chil Hashem. Purim is. That's why Chil Hashem is begamatria Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah, when we read the Megillah and we proclaim the oneness of Hashem, even in the Hester Pon, Hester Menatar Menayin Shenembe Vanoichi Hester Astir, reading the Megillah, especially Beroiv Am, is the greatest Kiddush Hashem. And it's Mechaper for Chil Hashem. That's why V'higishoy Adoinov El Ha'Elohim. V'higishoy happens to be the Gematria of Purim. Purim is the Yom Tov of Hagosha, of coming close. V'higishoy Adoinov El Ha'Elohim is equal to the words Al Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah is like is a way out, even for the Eved Ivri, even for the Jew who says, Ahavti Es Adoni Es Ishti V'es Bonoi. The Jew who says, Lo Yetzei Chavshi. Because really, Yetzei LaChavshi. Every Jew should be going out free. Yetzei LaChavshi is also Begamatria Al Mikra Megillah. The Mikra Megillah has the power to free. It has the power to bring Chayrus, just like the Shofar does. The Shofar and the Megillah are the same. The Gemara says, the reason we don't blow Shofar when it falls out on Shabbos is the same reason we don't read the Megillah on Purim when it falls out on Shabbos. And the Gemara says, Hainu time of the Shofar, Hainu time of the Megillah. So the Sfarim say, Shofar and Megillah are equated. Whatever the shofar accomplishes, the Megillah accomplishes. The shofar wakes us up, the Megillah wakes us up. But perhaps the shofar does one part, the Megillah does even more. The shofar that we read about in last week's parasha is written without a vav. The shofar that we read about in last week's parasha is the shofar, the left horn, the one of the Isle of Yitzchak, as Rashi says last week, the Mishloach HaYovel, that's referring to the Eloi Shel Yitzchak, but it's referring to the left horn. The right horn wasn't blown yet. That's the shofar gadol that we're waiting for. Tekaber shofar gadol. V'hoya b'yoyim hahu yitokaber shofar gadol. And then, uvo ha'oivnen be'eretz Ashur, v'hanidochen be'eretz Mitzrayim. And those two, Ashur and Mitzrayim, refer to Kfira and Taivis Leilam Hazah. The oivnen be'eretz Ashur, those are the idol worshippers. Those are the Kofrim. Those are the atheists. The nidochen be'eretz Mitzrayim, those are those who are have sunken into the Taivis Leilam Hazah. And both are affected by the shofar gadol of Yovel, which the goal of it is v'hishtachavu laHashem b'har haKodesh b'Yerushalayim. The goal is to come to Yerushalayim, which Yerushalayim is the Ir HaTzedek, the city where a Jew bows to Hashem, the place where we bring the Bikurim, where we bring Ma'aser Sheni, and in Yerushalayim into the Beis HaMikdash. The Eved Ivri, who cannot go to the Beis HaMikdash because he has sunken into the Shahar HaNun of Tumah, and the Beis HaMikdash, of course, is the place of the Shahar HaNun of Kedusha, the place of Emunah, and the place where we subject our tithes to Hashem. Reishis bikurei admoscha tovi beis Hashem alekecha. Purim is the yomtiv where v'nahapoichu takes place. That a person could totally turn himself around, that from being an eved ivri, and being a person who says, ahavti es adoni es ishti v'es bonoi, v'im omar yoimar ha'eved. As Chazal said, he says it over and over again. He sinks into the Shahr Hanun of Tumah. V'im Omar Yoimar Ha'evet is v'gematria Shahr Nun. He's a Jew who doesn't want the crown of Nasa V'nishma. Nasa V'nishma, we were zeicha to the Keser. The Keser is the crown. It's the highest level that a Jew can reach. That's the Shahr Hanun of Kedusha. This individual says, Ohafti es Adoni es Ishti v'es Bonoi. Lo Yetzei Chavshi. He doesn't want to go out free. So is there any hope for this Jew? Mordechai says there is. Because Mordechai HaTzadik, as the last pasuk of the Megillah tells us, was a doyresh toiv la'amai. He looked into the good of every single Jew. He was malamed zechus on every single Jew. He was a doyresh toiv even for those who said loy eitzei chavshi. That's why loy eitzei chavshi is the gematria doyresh toiv. Mordechai was doyresh toiv even for the loy eitzei chavshi Jews, even for those Jews who want to stay in Golus, even for those Jews who say that there's no hope, even for those Jews who went to the party and were affected by that party. The Nahapaychu, there was a turnaround. The Klal Yisrael fasted. The Tzumu Alay V'Al Toichlu V'Al Tishtu Shloishas Yomim Laila V'Yoyim. Klal Yisrael got out of it. Purim brought the Bechina of Yovel to Klal Yisrael. And what the Yovel does to the Eved Ivri, Purim does for Klal Yisrael that were Mishtatef in the Sudan who bowed down to the statue in the time of the Nebuchadnezzar. Those who entered the world of Kfira and Znus, Kfira and Targus Olam Hazah, were affected by the Ashakarcha, by Derech, by Amalek, Purim is a tikkun for them. That's why the Mishpatim begin with the Eved Ivri, the lowest of all, and it ends with Reishis Bikurei Admoscha Tavi Beis Hashem Alekecha. The Reishis, the first. The Eved Ivri is the Acharis, and at the end we're talking about the Reishis. Again, the Acharis before the Reishis. Achashverosh is Melech Shal Acharis V'Hareishis Shaloi. Because Purim is first for the Acharis Jews. Just like in last week's parasha, Yisrael, before Matan Torah, here too, it's the Eved Ivri before the Reishis Bikurei Admoscha. It's the Eved Ivri before Moshe Rabbeinu, who Hashem makes a special pathway for him up on top of the mountain, and Hashem makes a special pathway for the Eved Ivri, for those who sunk into the Shahar Hanun of Tumah. The Mefarshim tell us that Mordechai comes from the word Madrich. Mordechai is the same letters as Drachim, ways, a new Derech in Avodas Hashem, a new pathway. A pathway is being made now for those who have sinned, and for those who fell into the Shahr Hanun of Tumah. And that's why we bring him into the Delos, v'higishei el ha-Delos. We take him to a new door. There's a new doorway for you. We have a door, an opening for you too. There's an opening for you also. The Mishnah says in Shkolim, b'tesvav v'adar misaknin es hadrochim. They fix the roads. They get the roads, they pave them, and get them ready to be oyle regel on Pesach. So Purim is the time of misakin, a new derech in Yahadus, a new derech, a new pathway, a side entrance, a back entrance, some new entrance that even the Balei Tshuva, even those who have sunken so low into the Shahr Hanun of Tumah, they can also come out. And that the Eved Ivri can totally turn himself around from being an Eved Ivri who says, Ahavti es Adoni, to a Jew who cries out, Nasa V'Nishma. Every member of Klal Yisrael is part of the nation that Hashem called B'ni B'chayri Yisrael. We're all Hashem's firstborns. And just like we keep mitzvahs, Hashem keeps the mitzvahs. As it says in the Medrash, Magid Devar Rav Liyakoy, Chukav U'mishpatav Liyisrael. So Hashem keeps the mitzvahs too. So how does Hashem observe Bikurim? His mitzvah of Bikurim is bringing Klal Yisrael to the Beis HaMikdash. We are commanded to take our first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem is commanded, sort of, Hashem commands himself to bring his first fruits into the Beis HaMikdash. That's to bring Klal Yisrael into the Beis HaMikdash. Reishis Bikuri Admoscha Tavi Beis Hashem Alekecha. Even the Eved Ivri, who's the Acharis Jew, who says, who cries out, Ohafti Es Adoni Es Ishtivi Es Bonoi, he too is a member of B'ni B'chayri Yisrael. He too is a member of Klal Yisrael that are called the Bikurim, the Bikuri Admoscha, the Reishis Bikuri Admoscha of Hashem, and they too, Tavi Beis Hashem Alekecha. And in fact, the last mitzvah, like Sevashal Debi B'chalevi Moi, is a mitzvah that makes no sense at all. We all know, Basar B'chal, there's no reason for it. It's a chayk, and yet it's been Parshas Mishpatim. And the idea is, the Eved Ivri doesn't want to subject himself. He says, Ahafti Es Adoni. The greatest level that a Jew can reach is that he's willing to observe mitzvahs that make no sense. That's Nasa Rinishma. It doesn't make any sense. We do it anyway. We are Hashem's Bikurim. We are the B'ni B'chayri Yisrael. We do what Hashem says. Even though it's not even in the category of Mishpatim. And in fact, that's why Nasa Rinishma is Dafka in this parasha. Because the Chiddush of a Yid, keeps even to the Mishpatim, not because they make sense, but because Hashem said so. Even though the mitzvahs make sense, they're called Mishpatim. And we're supposed to understand them. And we're supposed to use our logic. Nevertheless, the reason we do it is not because it makes sense. The reason we do it is because Hashem said so. Nasa V'nishma is not only for the Chukim. Nasa V'nishma is for the Mishpatim too. So this is the parasha when everyone reaches a tikkun, especially at the end of Shoivavim, which we started off 6 weeks ago with the Haftarah in Yeshaya of Uvo Ha'ovdim Be'eretz Asherah, which is the Gematria B'me'ach HaShveirosh. Uvo Ha'ovdim Be'eretz Asherah V'hamidachim Be'eretz Mitzrayim V'hishtachavu LaHashem B'har HaKadosh B'Yerushalayim is finished in this parasha. Because this is the parasha that we end off the Mishpatim with Reishis B'Kuri Admoscha Tavi Beis Hashem Alekecha, which is of course Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. And we end off with Nasa V'Nishma and Moshe Rabbeinu going up to Har Sinai, which at that time Har Sinai had the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. So the idea is that when we enter the month of Adar, the great simcha of Mishenichnas Adar Marben the simcha is that a yid can go from the lowest to the highest. That every yid can be mahapich himself. V'nahapichu asher yishlatu ayehudim heim b'sayne ehem. That a Jew could make a total turnaround from the lowest, from the acharis to the reishis, from being an eved ivri to a Jew who cries out Nasa V'Nishma. And in the parasha of Shkolim, we see the unity of all the Jews. Because He'oshe lo yarbe, v'hadal lo yamit. The rich can't give more, the poor can't give less. Everyone is the same. Shkolim is the gematria of Amich Kulam Tzadikim. All Jews are Tzadikim. From the Eved Ivri till Moshe Rabbeinu, from the Acharis to the Reishis, from the Reishis to the Acharis, all Jews unite together. And we're zeichet to bring the Shkolim. And Amir Tzashem, we should be zeichet to hear the Megillah this year in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, from Mashiach, who will be the Dorish Toiv La'amoy. Dorish Toiv La'amoy is the Gematria Ruach Melech HaMashiach. Mashiach will be Melamed Tzchus on every single Yid, and even all of us, and even all those who have sunken into the Shah Hanun of Tumah, will have a total turnaround, will be Zeichet to the Shah Hanun of Kedusha, in Yerushalayim, Yerah HaKodesh, where we should bring the Bikurim, Reishis Bikuri Admoscha, Tavi Beis Hashem Alekecha, may it happen immediately in our days.